A few months ago, I released an episode of this show about my creative testing method for Meta ads. It is one of the most popular episodes I have released. People continue to return to it and continue to argue with me about what I proposed there. It seems to have scratched somewhat of an itch amongst media buyers, both in terms of positively helping some of them construct the method. I've gotten some really good feedback about it. I've also had people be really frustrated by it and suggest that there's all kinds of reasons why it is wrong. That episode, which is linked in the show notes, if you have not listened to or watched that episode, you may want to go back and do that before this one, lays out a positive case that what you want to do is launch all creative in a bid cap or a cost cap or a minimum ROAS campaign, some kind of annual bid, and you ought to launch that creative against all of your other evergreen creative. You should not build a creative testing campaign. In fact, that's what the thumbnail of the episode says. That's what the title on it is. Don't build creative testing campaign. That's the heart of my argument, that basically what you ought to do is launch new creative against all of your old existing creative, and you should not worry about forcing Meta to spend money on new tests. That's the heart of the argument. I have heard since releasing that, and have continued to hear, lots and lots of pushback on that from people who are frustrated for all kinds of reasons. I'm going to get into those in this episode, and what I want to do is take on the most common counterarguments to my position that I hear and explain to you why I think it is the case that creative testing campaigns for Meta ads media buyers are probably some of the biggest cost centers in businesses and D2C businesses out there. That maybe there is nowhere else where people are wasting more money in their business, just creating massive drain on their profits than in creative testing campaigns. And I'm going to tell you why the most common arguments I hear in favor of that approach to creative testing are wrong, and lay out for you the case in the next few minutes. So hello and welcome to the Andrew Ferris Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. I hope this conversation is something, this episode is something that makes sense to you, that you are in the conversation enough to know what I'm talking about and to be locked in on this. I think if you've been in media buying for a little while and have been running creative testing campaigns, it will be some use to you to think through the math of why creative testing campaigns just don't work well and why there's a much better way. Let's get into it. All right, so let me just recap really briefly my position here. What I do when I launch new creative is I launch it within a bid cap for my brands. You could do it with a cost cap or minimum ROAS as well. I prefer bid caps. I won't get into that here. I launch them in new ad sets in CBO campaigns against all of my evergreen creative, and then I walk away. And if Meta spends on my new creative, it's a winner. If it doesn't, it's a loser. That's the basic idea of my approach to creative testing, that by submitting my new creative to the machine learning of Meta ads, I am able to, this is the massive advantage of it, right? I am able to suppress the bad ads and amplify the good ads without wasting money on bad creative. This is the core idea that essentially, if I'm going to run auto bid creative testing campaigns to like quote unquote, see which creative works, then what I am forced to do in that case is spend a bunch of money on ads that by definition, many of which will underperform. Nobody hits their creative testing perfect all the time. Like even the great creative people, they're going to launch ads that sometimes are not going to work as well as the other ads they're already running. And so you're going to spend, if you launch an auto bid campaign, I don't think anybody really disagrees with this, you're going to spend some money on losing ads. And my suggestion is you're probably going to spend a lot of money on losing ads, especially if, like me, you care a lot about creative testing at scale, real volume. If you are regularly testing new creative, new landers, new offers, anything like that that can meaningfully change the performance of your account, then if you're going to launch lots and lots of new creative, then every creative test you launch, if you're going to auto bid on that, represents cost. It represents some cost. Now, of course, there's some sense in which every creative that you launch, every piece of creative that you launch represents cost for everybody, right? That the creative has to be produced and created, et cetera. And this is a thing that people sometimes are frustrated with my method for, because if you have run my method of creative testing before, you have had the frustrating experience, including I have had this, of launching new creative that you are excited about and Meta spends almost no money on it, okay? Because there's a massive campaign with a bunch of ad sets in it and Meta just doesn't think that this new creative is going to perform as well as other creative and it spends very, very little money. And this is a fairly common occurrence. It doesn't really ever spend $0, but it will spend a couple dollars a day, sometimes even less, as it does not believe, quote unquote, it's a machine, doesn't believe anything, but it doesn't forecast, I should say, that ad to win. And so if you've put real money and time and effort into generating new creative, this can be a very frustrating thing. It can be really disheartening. And you often will want to think, okay, I've got to give a fair shot to this new creative to see if it will win. And that experience is, I think, one of the things that really frustrates people. I think the other thing that really frustrates people, and this is like the core thing that I really hear, is Meta ads. There are actually two main things that I hear people say about this. The first is, if you do that, you are not giving your new creative a quote unquote fair chance at getting real spend. The logic is, you actually may have a winner there, but because Meta has all this engagement and all this signal and all this social proof on your previous winning ads, because of that, those ads come in with an advantage. And therefore, Meta will not spend on your new ads, which have none of those things, has no pixel data on those ads, it has no engagement signals on those ads. And because of that, because it doesn't have any of that information, those ads essentially would win if they got those things, but they don't get those things to start. And therefore, they can't compete with these ads that already kind of have all that stuff built up. That's part of the logic. And proof of this is often explained by, or proof of this is often trotted out by, this experience. I tried launching my new creative the way you said, Andrew, and Meta didn't spend on it. But then when I gave it a fair shot, build some auto bid spend against it, etc., it became one of my top spending pieces of creative in my ad account over a significant period of time. What do you say about that? Okay. Now, I need to say something up front here, which is that I don't have access to your ad account. So I don't know if you actually did my way of doing it right. I don't know. The rest of your account is a mess. I don't know what your optimization method was. I don't know what your measurement was. I don't know a lot of things about those things. So I can't speak to the specific circumstance that people bring up, but I hear that story a lot. I hear it all the time. And somewhere in there too, what I hear people also saying is something to the effect of, you can't learn what is working or not working if you're not getting data back on your ads. And very often, Meta will suppress your new spend so much that it won't work. And let's just remember again, to come back to the original point here, what I'm suggesting is that auto bidding creative testing campaigns, forcing Meta to spend lots and lots of money on your ads, is generating a massive cost center in the business. And in my view, I think literally one of the biggest cost centers in businesses. Now, what most people will say is, who are running D2C brands, who are running Meta ads, they'll say, we're willing to pay that cost if on the backside of that, it generates winners. And so that's fine. You're right. We are paying money for that, Andrew, except that we're willing to do that because if that's what it costs for me to make sure to identify a bunch of winners and I can get those, now those are going to push my business so far forward that cost is going to be relatively low, and that's just the cost of doing business. And what I am saying is, you can get all of that benefit of pushing winners forward in your ad account and yet completely reduce that cost. In fact, I'll take it a step further. I think that you are very likely missing out on ads that are winners by doing it that way. So not only are you paying the cost, but you're actually not getting the thing that you're aiming at. Because, and here's the core of my argument, almost any methodology of creative testing that relies on auto bidding and then identifying winners and manually scaling them yourself is going to be so fraught with methodological messiness that it will actually be counterproductive. So not only will it be costly, but it will actually be counterproductive in the process of generating winners. So let me say also from the outset that I do not believe Meta's machine learning is perfect. I do not believe that Meta always gets the winner right and always suppresses losers correctly. Sometimes, I watched it happen recently, Meta will spend too much on an ad that is actually a loser. And there's a number of reasons it will do that. Sometimes I'm certain that Meta will not spend on an ad that could win in my ad account. I have no trouble believing that. But the baseline, what I have to work from is not the idea of perfection, but of probability. I have to work from probability that I am getting the best thing in the most circumstances. And if that's the standard, and I believe that it is, then ultimately I think my method works really, really well of launching things. I think it is going to, on average, give you a much higher probability of selecting your winners than a manual method. Okay. So that's the baseline contention. On the average, in the aggregate, I'm going to identify more winners faster, which is why my method is built around the idea. It's not really my method, right? It's like method, but it's just what I do. So I'm going to call it my method, but it's not just mine. But it's the reason why I think that what I see happen all the time is that brands, as they switch over from auto bids to manual bids and they test creative this way, they see increases in spend. Because what I think is that Meta, by giving Meta the freedom to scale your winners and suppress your losers, the blended outcome of the total account gets better. There's two ways to win. There's one way to win is to spend more on your best ads. Another way to win is to spend less on your worst ads. Both of those generate a better return than it's not just about spending more on your best ads. So by accomplishing both of those, and I think Meta actually does both better than an auto bidding method, then that ends up giving you the best efficiency in your ad account and ultimately will push your spend forward and push the growth of your business forward, which is the thing you actually care about. Okay, that's the basic concept that I'm getting at here. And it's why over and over again, I see brands who test this way generate significantly more ad spend than they were before. It's why I think media buying matters. It's why I think media buying works and serves creative development and makes it so that all of your creative efforts get better. And this is ultimately what I want for you, right? If you were listening or watching, I want you, as you go develop your best creative ideas, to consistently identify the winners and have all of your hard work in developing creative and offers and great products and all those things, have that all pay off as best as possible. So that's the idea. Okay, so I want to take on especially this idea of auto bidding your campaign. So the first point I want to make is that, and this is crucial, many people who suggest that you ought to auto bid your creative tests, my first response to them when they say that is, okay, how much do you spend per ad? Put another way, how do you know when you have a winner? Okay, how do you know when you have a winner? And that, I think, is a question that people sometimes answer in a way that is really, really weak, frankly, you know? You need great people to join your e-commerce team, your e-commerce business. And you can find them in the Philippines with my friends at More Staffing by going to morenow.co. More Staffing is a recruiting agency that helps you recruit, train, onboard, coach, continue to provide support to incredible talent in the Philippines for your e-commerce business, people with deep e-commerce resumes. Don't just go look for a $5 an hour virtual assistant. Hire a virtual professional, somebody who is trained and knows what they're doing and can bring tons of high-level value to your business. And we'll do that at a highly competitive salary in the Philippines, but a salary that will be less than what you would pay somebody of equal experience in the US. That allows you to attract incredible talent, bring them onto your team, and you will do well because of it. Keep your OpEx lean. It is a win for everybody across the board. If you're not considering your next hire in the Philippines, you need to. And I am telling you, I love working with More Staffing. I have built my team in part with More Staffing. I have 4 employees from the Philippines and an intern as well now. And I love them. They're awesome. They provide a ton of value to me and to my clients. And so I'm happy to recommend them to you. They're a great partner to me. I've been working with for a while and I trust them so much. Go to morenow.co to begin considering. If you aren't considering it, you need to at least consider it. Begin considering hiring incredible talent for your business from the Philippines. That's morenow.co. Go do it right now. I recently heard somebody suggest that, I recently heard of a brand that spent a couple $100 on a new ad and would say, every ad we're going to spend a couple $100 on, and we're going to see if it gets enough purchases to show it's a winner at that spend. There's just no way in the world that you can tell if you have a winner or a loser within $200 in ad spend, basically no matter what your average order value is, et cetera. So that we'll just assume that kind of method, a couple $100, a couple purchases. That's maybe not the way that you are doing it. I would instead, in the spirit of thinking carefully and critically about things, I want to instead take this on by taking on what I think is the best version of this argument. And that is an argument that was voiced by Zach Stuck on Twitter. Zach is the founder of Homestead, the marketing agency. But Zach said he spends 90% of his time growing his own brands now. Zach is a smart guy who's built really good businesses. And in my opinion, is one of the better thinkers around Twitter at developing, particularly the notion of like sort of direct response oriented, great creative and landers. He's done some really good stuff there. Yeah. So I have nothing bad to say about Zach's abilities here or something like that. But I wanted to also not subtweet him in this particular comment here. I just wanted to mention it because Zach had voiced this opinion on Twitter in a way that I thought was relatively compelling, which is that he was saying that for his brands, he is testing to statistical significance every creative he launches, okay? And I think that's the best version of this, that many people are going to say, we want statistical significance, right? Stat sig, that in a test to say, option A is better than option B and therefore is a winner, okay? And I think there are probably some advertisers out there who have some level of rigor doing this pretty well. But what I want to point out, and I don't know, I mean, at this point, I just mentioned Zach because I didn't want to sound like I was implying something about somebody when I was really talking about Zach or whatever. But Zach had voiced this in a way that was compelling, like I said. So I don't know exactly how he does this, all right? But I think that it's almost impossible to actually do this well and to actually do it without it being a massive amount of cost. And I'll tell you why I think that's the case. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen. I've actually done the math to begin to think about how this would have to play out. Okay, so let's pull up this sheet. So I've begun to think about what the scenario would look like to try to run statistical significance tests on every piece of creative you run. If you are launching a new creative and you want to test it relative to statistical significance, if that's the standard you're going to hold it to, then that means you need 95% certainty that your ad is, or that ad A is going to beat ad B, that ad A is actually that much better than ad B, okay? And so I began to think about what the math would have to be to make this work. And so I used some round numbers here. I put out a poll on Twitter to ask what brands' AOVs were. 25% of people said their AOV was less than $50. You know, it was like 50% of people said their AOV was between $50 and $150. And then the other 25% were above $150. Okay, so I took a simple rounded average, $100. You could play this game yourself however you want to, but let's assume $100 AOV for a lot of clients. And let's assume that this client spends $500 getting $1.50 CPC on their spend. Now, at a meaningful amount of spend for many Meta ad accounts, $1.50 click would be a pretty cheap price. But this is going to vary a lot from account to account, depending on CPM, creative, all kinds of different things, okay? So $1.50 CPC, you would get 333 clicks on $500 in spend, okay? At $100 AOV, if you converted 8 of those purchases, you would have a 1.6 ROAS and a 2.4% conversion rate. Okay, I'm just going to tell you, at $100 AOV, within the optimization window that you would need, 1-day click, 7-day click, something like that, a 2.4% conversion rate on $100 AOV would be pretty high. And a 1.6 ROAS, if you got that for most brands, depending on their unit economics, depending on their standards, again, this would change for a lot of brands, but I think this is reasonable, they would look at that and say, this creative at least has a chance. This creative at least has a chance to work. Maybe they actually need it to be like a 2 to 1, but we'll give them a lower standard here and say, okay, if you get a 1.6, we'll move it. Now, people who do this creative testing method, they have all kinds of ways of approaching this question. And when they approach it, they sometimes think like, okay, I need it to just give me a 2 to 1 or a 1 to 1 or a 1.5. You know, I need it to be at my ROAS target. You know, it could be close to my ROAS target, whatever. So I'm just going to assume 1.6 is close enough. And that would be 8 purchases on $500 in spend. So the reason that I do all that is because what I want to show you now is how much or how little that really tells you about the performance of your ad. If you have 8 purchases, I'm going to use Neil Patel's handy dandy A/B testing calculator online. What I want to show you is that if you have 8 purchases on $500 in spend, you have learned nothing about the total performance of this ad. You've learned nothing about it. You've learned almost nothing. In point of fact, 8 purchases on 500 clicks, actually, oh, excuse me, on 333 clicks, okay? 8 purchases on 333 clicks. At that point, you only have, even though it is twice as good, if you only have 88% certainty, according to statistical significant, according to frequent statistical significant methods of testing, you only have 88% certainty when you need a standard of 95% certainty that your ad is as good as getting only 4 purchases, okay? So if you only get 4 purchases, you cannot be sure, or if you only get 8, if you get 8 purchases on your creative testing campaign at $500 in spend, 333 clicks, you can't be sure, you do not have statistical significance to say that the ROAS of that ad scaled more actually wouldn't be half of what it is in that campaign, right? So let's see, if we take it to 3, we're still not there, we're at 94% certainty, even at 3 purchases. So I hope you see what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is, you actually don't really know if your ad is as good or if it's better or worse than an ad that has half as many purchases on the same spend. And the reason that's so significant, right, is that if we go play this game again, now if I spend $500 and get 4 purchases at the same AOV, now my ROAS is 0.8. And what's very likely to happen? And in fact, we'll take that all the way down to 3 purchases. Now, in either case, what's very likely to happen is that if my ad at that level of spend performs at that ROAS, what am I going to do if I'm making the decision? I'm going to say, that's a loser. That's a loser. And I'm going to kill it and put it away, right? Because that ad is not performing well enough. and I don't have an infinite testing budget. Okay. And so now, and this is so crucial, the whole idea that people really love is that they are not going to miss out on their best performing ads. But in fact, what I'm saying is, because we are bad at measuring this sort of thing, and this is to say nothing about the fact that these tests are typically not designed in a scientific way, you know, where it's given a total budget to spend over a total time period, et cetera. But because we have not, because we're bad at interpreting this kind of evidence in general, and because our human lizard brains get in the way and don't do a good job of being unbiased in our prediction methods, what we're going to do is very likely leave ads on the table that actually could be better than ads that look on some level of small spend better than the ones that we turned off. Do you see what I'm saying? We're going to leave one of these ads on the table, even though it actually has a good chance of being a winner. We haven't reached statistical significance in saying that it's a loser. And now, if you think about that, not only is that the case, but the actual cost of doing this gets incredibly high very, very fast. I'm assuming that you're spending $500 on every ad at this point and allowing it to run that much. But if I'm going to do that, now the cost of testing, if I launch 50 ads per month, the cost of testing is $25,000 a month or $300,000 a year. That is a significant line item. And of course, larger brands are actually testing quite a bit more than this. Right now, smaller brands simply do not have $12,500. If I drop that to 25 ads a month, they simply do not have $12,500 a month lying around that they can just blow on testing. Okay, so they're this high, especially for testing that is not going to work that well as a test in general, right? They just aren't going to have that money lying around. And so, and of course, larger brands, right? If you get to a point where you're testing 100 ads per month, now you're talking about a $600,000 a year line item where you are going to blow a bunch of that money. Again, that's assuming that you spend $500 and you may or may not get statistical significance still. In fact, you're very likely not going to. You really need like overwhelmingly great performance to even get to a point where you can really trust that the results are going to be really good. I mean, even if you take something like, let's say we get a 10 purchases, so you get a 2-to-1 ROAS on those first 333 clicks. Again, you actually can't be sure that you have, you do not have statistical significance that you have beaten an ad getting 5 purchases, a 1-to-1 ROAS. So a 2-to-1 ROAS is not necessarily better than a 1-to-1 ROAS in terms of predicting this at scale, in terms of predicting which ad is a winner. You don't have statistical significance yet. And so that is the core point that I'm getting at. So I hope that makes sense to you. What I'm saying is there is so little methodological rigor and it's so fraught with errors that this whole idea of auto bidding to go locate winners just doesn't work that well. Because yes, you may find a winner that Meta may not find, but in the process, you're also very likely to be leaving aside losers that Meta would have continued to amplify based on its way of reading engagement signals to go find winners. So people are rejecting Meta's machine learning because they want to give their creative a better chance. And then they're making the decision about the performance based on methodological nonsense. That's what I think. It's methodological nonsense. It's just a way to feel like your ad is getting some spend in some cases. Okay, now that may be critiquing the worst version of the other position. And again, I think there's people who are thinking about this as well as possible. And it is worth noting that like, in the reality of the day-to-day here, like none of us have PhDs and we're not running scientific tests. We're not academics in a lab getting to design all of these things perfectly. Part of the thing that we should all be baking into the way we approach this is the fact that all of us, including me, are going to test without real methodological rigor. And we shouldn't take principles from an academic lab kind of setting and try to apply them to our media buying environments because we're just never going to be able to hold ourselves to those signals. On top of that, famously, in academic papers that do test things with randomized controlled trials and all that, like there is a famous replication crisis and a bias towards results and all these things that are making it so that even at that level, many tests are not actually proving replicable and workable in the ways that we want. And so this is the big point. The methodology of so much of the testing that people want to give is actually really, really, really flawed. And people often are going to leave. Not only are they, yes, they will find some winners here and there, and of course that can work, but they will also have plenty of times where they're going to leave winners on the table because they just can't see it. Now, there's another element of all of this, okay? Which is that you, and this is another crucial thing that people forget, you actually don't care how your creative performs on its own. You don't. You don't care how your creative performs. What you care about is how your creative performs relative to other options. And this is so crucial as well, okay? Because like the idea of forcing spend to some creative to see how it performs on its own assumes the idea that the target you care about is your ROAS target. But the thing is, what you actually want is Meta to allocate your next dollar to the best, most profitable place next. So you care not just how it performs on its own, you care how your creative performs relative to Meta's other options, okay? So if Meta can choose between ad A and ad B, and they can both beat your ROAS target, but ad A can beat it by a lot more, you want Meta to spend on ad A. In fact, you want Meta to spend on ad A and take it as far as you can until it reaches the same threshold of performance as ad B. And then you want Meta to spend more additionally. That, my friends, is precisely what campaign budget optimization is set up to do. It's set up to take all of your ad sets and all of your ads, or ASC is supposed to do this exact same thing. They're set up to do exactly that, to go find the best ad next and to spend your money in that place. And so I would just do all of that. In fact, I'll tell you, you don't even have to go with me all the way to bid caps or to cost caps or to manual bidding in general. If you just launch your new creative in an auto bid campaign, and you can go ahead and set the budget yourself if you really want to, and you just launch new creative against that, that will have that same effect of allowing Meta to go find the best ad next, as opposed to you forcing spend to the ones that you want to run it to. Because maybe your ad does work in an auto bid campaign where you force spend to it. And yet maybe when you run it against your other creative actually is going to perform better, and then it suppresses it right back down. If that's the case, then you've gotten what you've wanted. You want Meta to allocate your money best place next as best as it can possibly do. So won't it not spend? What will happen? Won't your ad not spend if you launch your ad against all of your other creative? Okay. And that's possible. But in the vast majority of cases, and this is another crucial thing, if you launch your ad against all of your other ads, if Meta does not spend on it, there is a reason why Meta is not spending on it. And it is not because it doesn't have enough signal. It is not because it doesn't have enough social proof yet. It is because Meta's machine learning does not forecast that it is likely to be a winner relative to the other options. That is, Meta believes, quote unquote, it is not your best option and therefore does not spend on it. That's precisely what you want Meta to do. And there is no weird thing where the machine learning is breaking, at least in the aggregate. Again, it may miss one here and there. I totally get that. But on the whole, it is very likely to be getting it right. And what's more, this is the most overstated concern people possibly could have about this way of doing it. I constantly hear this idea that Meta cannot find winners against new creative, that it is just not going to run them at all, et cetera, and it doesn't really know. It's going to happen. But what I am here to tell you, as a person who is currently managing 5 ad accounts with my team, as a person who is coaching other people and seeing their ad accounts as well, is that every day I look into ad accounts where recent new creative test ads rise to the top of the spend because we have beaten other ads. I see it constantly. I just did this today. I was looking at ads that yesterday we launched. They just barely started to spend a little bit as Meta just started to go, because, you know, day of, it just takes a day or two sometimes to spend. And today they're rising in spend against all these other established winners. In fact, winners that we had recently found a few weeks before that did the exact same thing. I watch it happen over and over and over again. That ad accounts get pushed forward, spend goes up as new winners get located, and Meta is able to locate what those winners are, to identify what those winners are, and to spend more on them. It's just not true that new creative gets no spend. It is true that most times creative doesn't get any spend because it will not perform. But it's not true that it won't get any spend at all because it has some kind of built-in disadvantage. It's just not true. In the midst of all of this, there is another implication. One of the arguments that I hear often against my position here is that, or sometimes against the whole exercise, is the idea that I'm too focused on media buying, and actually the thing that really moves the needle is creative, and really moves the needle is landing pages, really moves the needle is offers. And I understand why people think that, because I do talk a fair amount about media buying, but I also think that this whole thing gets at, the media buying setup gets at basically the shared hypothesis between those two positions, which is that creative is actually the thing that really matters most. Creative is what sells your product. And offers are what sell your product. And so I think that this method of testing actually allows you to test drastically more creative much faster without the cost that people do. Because again, if you go back to my screen share a second ago, what happens if you want to test 300 ads a month? Well, now your cost per month is going to go through the roof. If you're going to test them all at $500 a day, now you've got a $1.8 million line item on your P&L for the year in creative testing. What happens if you want to test 500 creatives per month? My friends at Kinship talk about this. That would be a $3 million line item, 250 grand a month, right? My friends at Kinship talk about this when they go run influencer content all over the place and they launch them all in cost caps. They say, we're trying to test 500 pieces of creative per month. We cannot run them all in auto bid tests, even if we thought that was the right way to do it. And so because they are so oriented around creative testing as the way to push your ad account forward, they launch everything basically in the way that I'm suggesting here, slightly different, but basically in the way that I'm doing it, all in cost caps, where the goal is spend at your target. If it doesn't spend, it's probably not going to hit your target. If it does spend, because it probably is. And that's that. And they're able to do this and push and push and push on massively more creative than most people. I also believe that creative pushes things forward, and I want to be able to test it very, very fast, and yet without having to bear the cost of running things in a testing campaign. This is actually magical. I mean, it is unbelievable that there is a tool out there that so completely suppresses losing ads while scaling winners without you having to incur the cost of the testing. And it's crazy. It's an incredible tool. And I think to walk away from it is one of the bigger mistakes you can make in running a D2C brand and running paid media in a D2C brand, because it's just so magical that you can learn so much at so little spend. Again, because of ultimately what I believe Meta is doing here. And to wrap this up, I think it is very helpful to understand what Meta is and is not doing in your spend. Okay. What I am pretty sure, I'll say 90% sure, Meta is doing in its machine learning is essentially Bayesian probabilistic forecasting. Okay. And the idea is that Meta isn't trying to find statistical significance on and build randomized controlled trials off of all of your ads and then scale results from there. Instead, Meta is using Bayesian principles, which assume that there's a bunch of prior knowledge that Meta has about what does and doesn't work. And then it's going to apply that prior knowledge to an updated forecast at any given time of your ad and your ad set, and take all that knowledge and say, here's what the machine predicts will happen next at a probabilistic level. And then the machine will respond to those signals, okay? And that is a much faster way to test things with high probabilities and with good forecasting methodology than having to submit everything to statistical significance testing, okay? I'm not a statistician, so there's going to be some details where this might get muddy for me, okay? But that basic concept is the way that prediction can work at scale and why Meta can do this at low cost. People ask this question all the time. Why is it that Meta seems to suppress or amplify ads based on so few impressions? Okay. And my answer is because Meta is reading way more engagement signals than you or I have access to. And Meta also knows that engagement signals in some way or another predict conversion rate and predict all these things further down the funnel. And therefore, and by predict, what I mean is probabilistically predict. This is why it's wrong sometimes, because sometimes those engagement signals perhaps don't ladder actually to the actual performance of an ad. But on the whole, the probability is that it mostly does. And so Meta is reading those signals and saying, here's what is most likely to happen next based off of all those signals and based off of the insane, ridiculous, giant treasure trove of data that Meta has access to. And when you go and auto bid your test, you're saying, nah, no thanks. I don't need all of that information. I will read these signals myself. I will handle it myself. And to me, I say, my lizard brain is not smart enough to do that, and I don't have enough money to do that. And so what I want to do instead is trust that while it's possibly the case that Meta will miss here and there, it is a much better, much faster way to test, much more creative, many more offers than I could otherwise do on my own. And that allows me to put my time, effort, and money into the best opportunities to grow my business, push my spend forward, grow my profits, and accomplish the things that I want to in my business. We're at a mouthful of an episode, a whole lot of stuff there, trying my very best to articulate what I believe about this. Please give me your feedback. You can email me, podcast@ajfgrowth.com. Reach out to me on Twitter @AndrewJFerris. I'd love to hear more what you have to say about this and anything else that I've been doing. Again, that creative testing episode I did before, if you felt lost there a little bit, it's in the show notes. You can go back and refer to that. As always, big thanks to my sponsor, More Staffing, who I absolutely love working with. Virtual assistants can be helpful. Virtual professionals can change your business. Go work with More Staffing by going to morenow.co and tell them I sent you. I've got a bunch of good episodes coming up. So many good episodes coming up. I've got Barry Hot coming up very soon, who we're going to talk about creative. I've been testing some things that Barry has said for a long time. And spoiler alert, he's right about a good amount of it. So I want to talk to him about that and kind of what he's learned about his approach to creative. I think there's a bunch of stuff there that can be really helpful to you. Also got some other episodes in the queue that are going to be really good. So don't forget to subscribe wherever you are, rate, review, and share this episode with somebody who disagrees with me and have them come yell at me via email, via Twitter, whatever way you best can yell at me about what I'm wrong about. Thanks so much, as always, for watching, for listening. I'll see you next time.